You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Some days, when you do radio, it's super easy. You just get to come in, goof around, you have some fun, you talk a little sports, no harm, no foul. Other days, you got to step back and say, how do I handle this the smartest way possible, real, authentically for me, but also make sure that we're presenting the facts in the best possible way. That's what we're going to try and do now with what has been a very difficult morning across the sports landscape to try and make sense a punishment for Deshaun Watson. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz, Chris Button hanging out in for the guys. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Chris, we've known each other a while, but I think this is the first time that we actually are doing a radio show together, if I'm not mistaken. And I wish it was under, you know, easier, lighter topics, but it is still, I'm glad that we get to spend the next few hours hanging out and trying to put some perspective around what is obviously a very difficult situation with the latest of Deshaun Watson. At least we get to hang out together.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to do this show with you, and I appreciate what you said off of the top. It is a hard show to do because there are very heated opinions both ways. And you and I have our opinions, and then there's, what we know and what we don't know. And what we do know is that Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games. We have been waiting to find out what the punishment would be, and it came down today. And so now there is, how do you take what your opinion is of what Deshaun Watson has been accused by 25 women of doing, and measure that with what Sue Ell Robinson, the judge, came down with? And I think for both you and I, it is, where do I fall on that line? And I go back and forth as to where my anger is and where the logic is.
And that's, for me, to a fault. As a personality, I am very capable of separating all emotion from anything and looking squarely at logic. Years ago, this is many, many years ago, somebody I was dating was going to be on, she'd been asked to do Deal or No Deal, to the point that we got to the last trial round, right? And so they bring your family in, and everybody's sitting there, and you go through the Deal or No Deal thing. And as you're sitting there, and they would come to the family and be like, what do you guys think? I'm the one that would sit there and be like, well, there are this many left that are an advantage, this many that are a disadvantage. So the numbers say that you should just take the deal right now. You could really use the money. They hated me because I didn't do anything on emotion. I only do it on logic. That's important to note now, because this is a very logic-driven portion of the Deshaun Watson conversation. As you mentioned, she has stepped out. Sue Ell Robinson has stepped out and made her ruling. That ruling is no fine and a 6-game suspension. Very important information to make sure everybody understands that this is a new process, right? So what we know from this process is that the collective bargaining agreement, last time they went in and did this, they said, okay, punishments aren't being handled the right way. So instead, they decided that the NFL Players Association and the NFL together would sit down and they would pick somebody that was independent that would hear any case of punishment like this, and that person would have the opportunity to make a ruling. When they make that ruling, either side can appeal. So we've heard a lot about this over the last couple of days. But Chris, I think that's an important starting note, because where a lot of people are talking about right now is, how could you suspend somebody a year for gambling? How could you suspend somebody for deflated footballs? Those are all fair things to say, but it has nothing to do with this, because that was a different punishment process in a different collective bargaining agreement. So this solely stands on its own as a new thing.
Yeah, and as you watch or you scroll social media, it is constantly this. Well, this isn't fair for this reason. And Ben Roethlisberger got 6. It was later reduced to 4 for being accused of sexually assaulting a 20-year-old. That was March 2010. And this is a completely new system they adopted under the new CBA 2 years ago, so that, because NFL teams in the NFL were being so criticized for their suspensions or lack of suspensions and needing an independent reviewer to do this. And so they put that in the hands of Sue L. Robinson. Here is, if I'm going to be angry about anything besides the actions that Deshaun Watson has been accused by, if you are going to adopt this process, it needs to be transparent. So there was a 15-page conclusion, but we haven't even seen what evidence she went off of. Basically, her decision was based on four cases brought by the NFL. The fifth case was thrown out because the NFL didn't interview the woman. The NFL interviewed a total of 12. We don't have access to those interviews. We don't have access or the transparency to see all of the evidence that was given to her. Was she able to interview all of these women, or is she only going based off the information that was provided to her, which was all taken in by the NFL? To me, if you're going to adopt this process, lay it all out on the table so that we all can see and form opinions that way.
That she's Chris Budden. I'm Jason Fitz. We're in for the guys on Barton Hunt. That is such an important point. I have a podcast I love. Listen to it all the time, called The Prosecutors. Okay. And it's two prosecutors that sit there and they don't listen to any theories or any opinions. They basically take all of the information they can get from Freedom of Information Acts and from books and from whatever's public on the trials. They go through, they rip these apart, and they read through just the information with no pretense of what it means. And it's an incredibly interesting process to go through very famous cases that way, because they have the perspective of, this is normal in a lawsuit, this is not normal, this is normal in a criminal trial, things like that. And one thing that they talk about all the time is confirmation bias, which is, at its end, you're going to look at the evidence and you're going to take the portions of the evidence that support your theory. And you're going to throw everything else away. What we know as a general consuming public is what's been reported over and over and over again. We have no idea how much, if any, of that actually played in to what the judge was looking at when she was making her decisions. Because as much as we can read a New York Times article, that doesn't submit as evidence. Like, that has nothing to do with the information she's getting. She's looking at depositions that we don't have access to. She's looking at witnesses that we don't have access to their testimony. And Chris, it's such an important part of this, because we're basing on all of our thoughts and emotions today on the fact that this feels, frankly, to use a really professional word, icky. This feels really icky. And I don't feel good sitting here defending a 6-game suspension for something that on a very core personal level feels like it should be more than that. But when I look at just the information and the logic, I have a hard time finding a way to get to a higher number, simply because we haven't seen what information she's... I've got to trust an independent judge is going to be independent, is going to look at the information, is going to do it the right way legally, and is going to do what her entire career has taught her to do.
And the other deal is there's so many different numbers that we're talking about. The Houston Texans settled with 30 women. 23 of the 24 that have come out, Deshaun Watson has settled with. Sue L. Robinson looked at 4 cases of those with women. So I think it's also important to get an understanding of what she saw, what she was looking at, and then everything else. It does feel icky. Because why did the Houston Texans settle with 30 women that have come into their building? Why has the NFL not come down and investigated the Houston Texans for what they allowed to happen allegedly in their building? And yes, it feels icky that Deshaun Watson is sitting here saying nothing happened, but he's settled with now, because they settled with 3 more today, all but one.
You put all of that together, and that feels gross. What of that, and this is the question they ask all the time of the prosecutors, it feels awful, but what of that is actual evidence, right? So yeah, that's the hard part, because, and we'll defer here to Adam Schefter, ESPN and NFL insider. He reiterated the judge, how the process was made when he was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, and he said this.
Each case is looked at on an individual basis. There are rules of conduct for the various forms of violations that there are in the CBA. There's conduct clauses, integrity clauses, drug clauses, PED clauses. Each are independent categories. So So this obviously was viewed under the category of sexual misconduct under the personal conduct policy. This is what the judge found. She did not make the decision on Calvin Ridley or DeAndre Hopkins or some other player that's been suspended. She probably, I'm sure, reviewed some of those cases and how it compared. In this particular case, there were a number of women making a lot of accusations. There are a lot of people that have a lot of questions. Watson agreed to settle 23 of the remaining 24 lawsuits, but this is the judge's decision.
And that's the judge's decision is such a huge part of this, Chris, because what's happening right now is everybody's yelling at the NFL. This is a process that came into existence because the NFL had a problem and the NFLPA had a problem with the way things were being laid out. So I keep looking at this thing. If you look just at the information, just at what we know right now, all we really know is that Deshaun Watson has been accused of terrible things by a lot of women. I mean, just an uncomfortable number of women. We know that Deshaun Watson has said, I did none of this and I've never done anything wrong. We know that the NFL says they have talked to several people and they believe that he did something wrong. We know that all of that information was presented to an independent judge, an independent arbitrator in this situation that used to be a federal judge. And she, along with the team of attorneys that worked for her, went through all of the thousands of pages of depositions. They heard from certain people, and she made this decision. That's all we really know, to your point of transparency.
And she did find that there was egregious behavior in it. So there was enough evidence that was submitted to her to come to the conclusion that Deshaun Watson's pattern of behavior was egregious. But notes that that behavior was nonviolent sexual conduct in explaining that decision to suspend him 6 games. Now here's where I have issue. There was enough there to say it was egregious. So because he didn't touch anybody, but he was in a room where he used his power as an NFL player to do things that were incredibly embarrassing and harmful and to a female massage therapist in that room. There is enough evidence to say it was egregious. The part that bothers me, nonviolent sexual conduct, as if there's like, there should be a difference. I understand there is a difference, but there was enough to say it was egregious. So to have 6 games when you're telling me there was sufficient evidence to make a patterned behavior, that's where I think 6 games is light.
And that's why I wish we could actually hear from her in this mm-hmm. process, too. You know, this is one of those interesting things, and we haven't seen the full 15-page document yet, at least I haven't, and I haven't been able to find it online yet. But there is some portion of this that if what you're saying is that the sexual conduct or misconduct of Deshaun Watson was so egregious that it embarrassed the league, but it didn't rise to criminal levels, so it's worth a 6-game suspension. Like, all of that feels, that it feels very strange to me because my mind wants to say, okay, well, if there's nothing criminal here, like if he didn't do anything that was criminally wrong, if he's just really creepy, then are we going to get to the world where we're policing people's sex lives? If he did something that was criminal, how's it worth only 6 games? Like, it is easy for me to see that logic because it's hard to figure out what egregious means in this. Like, I really need to hear from her in depth in a way that makes it make sense. And I'm not sure that's ever going to happen. I mean, this is essentially one of those moments where you get, it's almost like reading a Supreme Court thing. You get like the opinion and it's like, here's the supporting, here's the dissenting, here's why we did what we did, deal with it. And I don't know where the middle ground falls on that.
Yeah. If you came to a conclusion that something did happen numerous times, then you're saying it did happen. So therefore you are guilty. Now people are going to sit here and call us all day, Fitz, and say, oh, well, no criminal charges were given. And okay, I go back to, do you know what it's like as a female to sit there and recount all of this over and over and over again and have your interview spliced up by every which person and have that publicly criticized versus a guy who's sitting here as the highest paid quarterback in NFL? Like, I wouldn't want to go through that either. So don't sit there and say, oh, well, because criminal charges were never filed, there is no fault. She found fault. She found enough evidence to say that it was a pattern behavior.
It is, that, to that point, It's alarming how many people want to just decide why criminal charges or civil charges aren't brought or are brought. And without being in the room to understand it, it's just so difficult. And although it's a polarizing, a very different example, criminal charges were brought, for example, on OJ. And how many people turn around today, even though OJ was found innocent,
yeah.
How many people are like, oh, no, OJ did it. Like, we decide as a general population who's guilty and innocent based on, again, the confirmation bias. Like, I'll go back to that prosecutor's podcast. I'm telling you, Chris, I learned things about the JonBenet Ramsey trial that I had never, like, it blew my mind. And it was all just by having two attorneys that had no bias one way or the other, break down everything in different criminal reports and tell you how police reports are actually taken. Like, I learned so much in that process. It really opened my eyes. Like, anytime we presume that we understand the ins and outs of all of this without every ounce of detail, it's just impossible. We're going to get some expertise from Kimberly A. Martin. She joins us from Cleveland to give us the latest. But first, or to give us the latest from the Cleveland side, I should say. But first, Chris has this from Straight Talk.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot, and now nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
We have enormous breaking news from the National Football League. Adam Schefter, the decision has been made. What can you tell us?
Sue L. Robinson, the retired federal judge, handed down her decision. Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games.
DeAndre Hopkins has been suspended for 6 games for a PED violation.
I think Zeke Elliott had 6 games for accusations of domestic violence. So there is no penalty that kind of goes back in time and has these women not experience the things that they experience. So there's no penalty that solves that.
Spartan Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz, Chris Budden, in for the guys. Kimberly Martin joining us now. And I'll say before we even get to the first question, Kimberly, I thought this morning on Get Up, everybody on that show did a beautiful job of trying to figure out what to make of this ruling as it was coming down, also trying to figure out how to parse out the emotion versus the logic of what we got. I thought everybody, yourself included, was particularly spectacular. So now that we've had a little time to let it set in, before we get to sort of the Cleveland side of it, what is your reaction now that you've had a couple hours to think about it to what we found out today?
You know what is challenging for me is covering the story as a reporter. This is not surprising. The punishment of 6 games was not surprising because I've been around the Browns a lot the last few years, and particularly within the last 4 or 5 months, however long he was traded since March. And the dozen teams that were interested in him, they all, you know, in the offseason, all thought 6 to 8 games. That was the range I heard throughout the combine, 6 to 8 games. And that's what the Browns felt as well. So today, to me, was just confirmation of something that I was anticipating. But as, you know, I was on Get Up and First Take, and, you know, I just tweeted, today we were, you know, somebody stationed in Cleveland for a week almost and just got back last night. I thought today would feel like a resolution. Like, okay, this is, we've been talking about this day coming. This is going to be it. And as I discussed with Ryan Clark and the guys on the Pivot podcast, it doesn't necessarily feel like resolution because there are so many tentacles to this. This is a football move. Trading for Deshaun Watson was a football move made by a football team looking to win football games. And that is it. And I hate that on one level because this should be bigger than just football. This is bigger than football. But fans, and I think people, we want the NFL to be a moral compass, that it will sort of act the way things would, you know, like if this were me in this situation and 25 lawsuits were filed against me, I doubt I'd still be working at ESPN, correct? Okay. So we expect certain things in life, but the NFL doesn't always mirror real life. This is NFL life. This is football life, and it's different. So the emotions tied to that have been interesting. And also the inconsistency and punishment doled out. Now, people have to understand that personal conduct and a PED use and sexual assault and violence, integrity, all those things are separate categories under the new CBA. And how the punishment is doled out, it's done, they're done entirely differently. So earlier today, I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins and the six-game suspension for the PD youth, and then Calvin Ridley forfeiting his $11 million base salary and, a, you know, being suspended for this year for a $1,500 bet on NFL games. Those two things are different from Watson, being that this is the first time an outside disciplinary officer has been ruling, would make a ruling on something such as this. So the NFL decided those two punishments with Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, and Deshaun Watson is a separate case. But emotionally, what you're looking at, three football players, and it still doesn't sit right with a lot of people, especially GMs, coaches, execs that I spoke to. One GM texted me, you know, shaking my head, like, this is ridiculous. Like, this minimum a year. The league should push for that. So there's a lot of feeling within the league that this wasn't enough, as much as I am not surprised, because this is what I was hearing all along.
Kimberly, I appreciate that so much, because, you know, also as a woman covering sports and a reporter, there is the my emotion of if what Deshaun Watson is accused of doing, he really did. There's the frustration, the anger that goes along with that. Also knowing, like, this was given to an independent, you know, evaluator to come up with the punishment, and she did. But it doesn't end there. There's 3 days for the NFL mm-hmm. to appeal this, and a chance for even a possible harsher punishment. From what you're hearing and what you know of the league, what would you expect over the next couple days?
So, logically speaking, looking at this, you know, I'd done Adam Schefter's podcast earlier today, and, you know, I said, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, is somebody who has been lambasted for failing to show up for women, support women, stand up for women when tasked to do so over the course of his tenure as NFL commissioner. So with that said, there's logically speaking, someone might say, well, here, if the league was pushing for a year and Sue Robinson came back with six games, well, obviously the league, at least for optics sake, is going to push for an appeal, would they not? I've heard of some, it's not likely, but again, we have 3 days. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, because, you know, the NFLPA put out that strongly worded statement. You know, we agreed on an independent disciplinary officer, both the NFL and the players union. And we, the players union, will stand by whatever she says. And we, you know, we hope that the NFL, we want to see the NFL do the same and not appeal. So I'm very curious. I do not know what will happen. I've heard it's not likely, but if they don't, there will be an uproar over that, because the league put together, you know, it submitted all this information, all this research, all these notes for Sue Robinson to look at and study, and after a full month, come back with a decision. And I think the NFL is probably hoping that her decision would be a little bit tougher, harsher, but she's going based off of the information that she was given by the NFL. The four cases, even though there were many, many women, 25 lawsuits, she was looking at four specific cases, not the whole totality of all these lawsuits. So, you know, it's such a complicated situation. And, you know, in 3 days, we will know for certain what Deshaun Watson's future is.
Follow her on Twitter at @ByKimberlyA to keep up with all of the information as it goes down. Kimberly, great job today. Thanks so much for giving us time on what's been such a hectic day, and great work overall.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So obviously that raises the question you just asked of what will the league do? Well, coming up, we'll break that down, and I'll tell you why I don't think the league should do anything, even if that's not a popular opinion. We'll break it down next. Barton Hahn, Chris Budden, Jason Fitz in for the guys on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Spartan Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz, Chris Budden in for the guys, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Quick note to everybody, because you guys are fired up on the phone lines. We're going to let you take the show over in a little bit. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to give Renee a shout-out. Renee not only is producing today, but he's also screening the calls. So when you call in and you yell at Renee, all you're doing is yelling at somebody that works his ass off. So if you hate something that we're saying, don't yell at Renee. Don't yell at Eric. Yeah. Wait to yell at one of us, probably me. And when you yell at us, remember, I work for Mickey Mouse. So if you wouldn't say it to Mickey Mouse, you can't say it on the air for us. Like, that's just the general rule. And anybody that breaks that rule is going to mess it up. This is like when we were kids, where it's like, it takes one bad apple and nobody's going to get to have fun. See how this works? So I'm begging you guys, be kind to Renee. And then, you know, just control yourself when you're on the air. Because everybody's fired up, Chris, about all things Deshaun Watson. Rightfully so. As we were going to break, I said, you know, to me, there's no reason the league should appeal this. And it's not because I don't want this. Like, if I was the czar of the universe, I would have made this the NFL suspension. I would have no problem with an indefinite suspension of a year. Let everything continue to play out. Get all the information you can. Make sure everything's fine. And then let it back in. I have no problem with that. But now that a judge has ruled on this and come in and said, hey, this is a 6-game suspension, I don't think the NFL can step in, because if they do, they open Pandora's box to the possibility that what happens the next time the independent case is heard and then all of a sudden the arbitrator comes in and rules in a way we think makes sense, but Roger doesn't, so Roger comes in and squashes it. Like, precedent is such an important part of this word to me, because now the precedent is set. If Roger comes in and just steps all over that, then all of a sudden we're back to the same system we had, and why did they spend that time collective bargaining a different concept?
So the NFL came out with a statement just a bit ago, quote, "We thank Judge Sue L. Robinson, the independent disciplinary officer, for her review of the voluminous record and attention during a 3-day hearing that resulted in the finding of multiple violations." They went on to say that pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement, the NFL and the NFLPA on behalf of Watson may appeal the decision within 3 days. In light of her findings, the league is reviewing Judge Robinson's imposition of a 6-game suspension and will make a determination on the next step. So they have 3 days. Here's what Roger Goodell also has to remember. There is a huge facet of female fans that watch the NFL that are going to be disgusted and turned off if Roger Goodell or the league says, we're done. Like, thank you for making the decision for us so we didn't have to, we didn't want to get our hands dirty. So Roger Goodell has to weigh that and his own moral compass of what he believes happened and the findings from this, and then decide. Because we've already seen the emotional reaction from today, and there will be several fans that want to sit here and say, gee, thanks for wearing pink during October. Thanks for your pink towel and your pink jersey and your pink helmet. Because based on your... if they decide not to appeal, based on that decision, you really don't give diddly squat about the women.
Is it not fair, though, to look at it and say the NFL was, by allowing somebody else to have, I'm trying to say this in a smart way so I don't sound like a total ass, right? Like, just be real here. By allowing somebody outside of Roger Goodell to handle this, is it not fair for them, Roger Goodell, to say, look, we set up due process so that nobody could be influenced by emotion, and instead it would be driven solely by the evidence and the logic at hand. And by not only allowing a judge to do it, but frankly, I mean, I think you, if you're Roger Goodell, you look at it and say, this is a female judge that looked at all of this evidence. We made sure that we gave that judge the best evidence possible. We want to respect their ruling. Like, it's such a Pandora's box, because then is Roger Goodell going to be asked every time to value something more than the independent process that they put in place?
No, I completely agree. And listen, it does open a box. I don't know that it's worth the repercussions that come with not appealing it. You put this process in place, it'd be very easy to say, okay, this was the ruling and we're done. Close the box. Everyone move on. I think the harder thing to do is to appeal, because for what you said, we put this process in place. Let's just go on with it. But this has gone on for a year and a half. The first lawsuits came in March of 2021. He has a 6-game suspension, of which no one has even touched his money. He gets all of his signing bonus. None of that was even taken away. None of that was even in the fine that came out today. So I think there are extenuating circumstances to make a point of this behavior cannot go on anymore. It is unacceptable. And if we're going to sit here and say just 6 games, is that really saying that this is unacceptable?
I wonder, to your point, Chris, I keep thinking about the games. But if the league wants to come in and really decide that they want to appeal the process and Roger wants to look at it himself, I wonder if money is what they go after. At least if you go after money, then you can stand on some hill. Like, this is so hard for me, because I'm trying to separate what I want versus what I see from just the logic of what makes sense. And that's, I think, the toughest part of all of it. You guys have stacked the phone lines. We'll let you take over. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I do this with so much caution. Again, be nice to Renee. Be nice to Eric. If you want to yell at me, I can take it. But remember, at the end of the day, we work for Disney. So let's keep it clean. We're going to try and go to the phones here. We're going to see if it can work. We'll let you take over the show next. But first, Chris has this from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Chris Budden, Jason Fitz in for the guys. I promise you, we're going to get into Chris's new puppy later, because we all need to hear about puppies, and I think we could use a little bit of positivity right now. But we're going to take some of your calls on Deshaun Watson. Fingers crossed, thoughts and prayers. Mike in the Bronx. Mike, what you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I'm just kind of confused that, you know, the outrage for Deshaun Watson. And I understand that, you know, because I have a mother, I have two daughters, so I understand that, you know, the aspect from the females. But again, Ben Roethlisberger was given 6 games, which got knocked down to 4 for rape. The man was criminally charged with rape and pleaded to a lesser charge. What's the outrage for a man that faced no criminal charges? We don't know what transpired. We know he didn't do nothing criminally wrong. Two separate grand juries showed us that he did nothing criminally wrong, so I just don't get the outrage. And then now we're talking about how much money he's losing, and like it's just confusing to me. That's all.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Chris, what you got?
There's a difference between coming to the conclusion that he did criminally nothing wrong. That would be a not guilty verdict, that he did nothing criminally wrong. There wasn't enough evidence and people to take the stand to be able to charge him with a crime, which is two separate things.
Yeah, and I think part of the outrage comes, to be honest, with the fact that we've seen so much reporting on what is being reported he did do, and it just feels gross. And Mike, I hear you. I always, though, remind people, like, I have no relationship with my mother at all. I have no daughters, and I still don't think women should be treated horribly. You don't have to have women in your life to understand that that's just an awful, awful thing. Let's go to Wendell next, and let's see what we got here. Wendell, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah. I'm just, excuse me, I'm having breakfast. But anyway, all comes down to you. You know, you're trying this guy in public opinion, which is for there's no really court of public opinion. It's just what we all go by. We all have opinions. Okay? But the boy, we don't know what went on in those rooms. The guys on your show that were professional athletes, they know what goes on. You got women coming giving massages. Are they really giving massages? Or are they doing something else? Because the bad guys in this country aren't stupid. They know. They didn't. It ain't like they went after the policeman or the fireman or the McDonald's worker to get a massage and sell. They went after Deshaun Watson, a professional athlete.
I'm just cut you off. We got to go to break. I'm gonna cut you. I'll address this on the other side, Chris. Good Lord.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. Chris Budden, Jason Fitz in for the guys. Wendell was just calling in saying that, you know, we don't know what happened, and, you know, these masseuses go after famous people. It's just a wild misrepresentation. There's so much to correct in that I would at least say, go look at the reporting on how these women were contacted and who reached out to who. Like this concept that little old innocent Deshaun was just sitting in his hotel room and was like, oh man, a masseuse hit me up. Like, that is not at all how any of the evidence looks.
He also did not call up professional massage therapy places and say, here's, you know, how come there were so many different massage therapists? How come he's reaching out to them and sliding into their DMs? This isn't, you know, let me have my insurance go cover, you know, a cryo session somewhere. This was very much tried to be under the books and under the table.
Yeah. And to that end, Wendell also said, ask your former athletes that work in the network. I've asked every former athlete in my phone book about this since it started. And every single one of them, to a T, has said, on or off the record, it is wildly weird for somebody to see this many masseuses. To have this many therapists is not normal. I have not found a single athlete that backs it up. And in fact, the guys from the Pivot today were on First Take saying the same thing. They all echoed the, man, and they're guys that they all played, and they're guys standing here saying, man, to have that many masseuses, obviously something's going on there. So, but again, we don't know what evidence was presented specifically to the judge in this case of all of that. So that's part of what makes it a little bit difficult as we try and figure it all out. Let's take one more. Let's get risky here. Rob,
civil. They've been
so far so good.
You're impressing your look.
Rob in Florida. Yeah, I am like the guy who's like, no whammy. One more. Rob, what you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey guys, yeah, the outrage is silly. There's no criminal out. You keep saying evidence, and there's been no evidence found at all. Otherwise, the guy would be facing criminal charges, and he's not.
Wait. We're going to stop there. So you're telling me that that if there was any criminal evidence at all, he would be facing charges? That you really want to die on that hill?
Absolutely. What DA wouldn't want to prosecute this guy? And we're going to question a female judge that just issued a ruling in this guy's favor?
Okay, I wasn't talking about that. I'm not talking about that, because, by the way, the female judge in her ruling says that there is evidence of egregious behavior. It just doesn't rise to a criminal level of evidence. So to her point, to your point, the judge actually said there is evidence. So which is it?
Of egregious behavior. That's not criminal behavior, and you can't take a guy's livelihood over something that's not criminal. Can't do it. Right. And they're not going to. That's why the NFL's not going to do it.
I mean, actually, you can. I mean, the NFL took a year's salary for a wide receiver for betting legally on a game. Like, that, there was no criminal behavior, and they took a year of his livelihood for it. Again, and now I'm being a hypocrite here, because that was an old standard of punishment, Chris, but like, this concept, the NFL could do whatever they want whenever they want.
I mean, the same thing. If there was this many, allegations against us, you and I wouldn't be working for Disney.
Yeah.
You can take away my life. Court of public opinion has taken away plenty of people's livelihoods without any criminal charges. So the idea that there was that means nothing happened is completely false, because the judge herself came out today and said there was enough for a 6-game suspension.
And there's a reason why true crime podcasts are some of the best listened to in all the world, because everybody loves this. Is there enough evidence? We've all heard circumstantial evidence. We've all heard this is like constantly broken down in every Dateline. Dateline is popular because the concept of how much evidence is enough evidence to actually get a conviction. Like, nobody, and I don't mean this offensively, Rob, but like, nobody can really be stupid enough to think that you have to, like, if there was any evidence, you'd go after somebody. In fact, your argument, at least in my life experience around, I can only speak to the music world, but in my life experience, most of the time you want to have more concrete evidence when you're going against a celebrity, because frankly, you know they're going to have a well-funded legal team, and you don't want to be the DA that went after somebody and lost in that case. So I would argue that the exact opposite way, Chris.
Oh, absolutely. And I would also say that, you know how hard it is to get the victim to want to stand up in a public trial, and that victim statement, who you need, is the one, is the reason that this thing would go to court. If you don't have that, then why would the prosecutor sit there and try and bring this to court if you're not going to have witnesses that want to, you know, go along with it and sit there and stand on? So many people walk away from not being charged because the victim doesn't want to sit there through all this.
There are so many complicated layers to something in this process that everybody wants to make really simple. And nothing about the Deshaun Watson case from the get-go has been simple. So when people say there's no evidence, the one thing I would say is, like, Chris is a reporter. I'm not. I tell people all the time, I am not a journalist. I'm an idiot that sits in front of a microphone. I have no journalistic integrity. I didn't study it. I didn't learn it. I don't know. I just sit here and, like, wax philosophically. I'm a bloviating gas bag. Chris is a journalist. Look at some of the journalism that has been done on this by significant reporters that have great resumes, that have done great work in their careers, and what they've unearthed. Now, does that mean that all of the evidence from the reporting has been presented to the judge? We don't know what the judge saw. So you're presuming, if you're calling and saying that there's absolutely no evidence, you're presuming that you have all of it figured out, that everybody that ever reported about it was wrong, and that the judge, frankly, went in and said, oh, nothing here, which isn't matched by anything. There's no facts that match that up. I can say that and still say that the judge came to a reasonable opinion in her mind, Chris, but I just can't find the no evidence part.
Yeah. Even the statement says, although this is the most significant punishment ever imposed on an NFL player for allegations of non-violent sexual conduct, Mr. Watson's product of conduct is more egregious than any before reviewed by the NFL.
I mean, that's from the judge. So the judge saw something. We just don't know what. We'll talk to Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front officer next, front office insider next, about how all this can be handled for the Browns moving forward. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.